the resistance and rebuilding, building on a lot of what we already have. But the first order of business is, for in the work I do, is defend immigrants.
Larry Kleinman, thanks so much for talking
Thank
to
you,
us
Bill.
Again. It's always really great to talk to you.
Same.
Indeed. Thank you all for joining us this morning on the Old Mole Variety Hour. Let me tell you that the KBOO Evening News produces a one-hour newscast every weeknight. We need writers, editors, reporters, and more to make this grassroots community resource happen. If you are interested, training free of charge, contact Lisa Loving by email at newsdirector@kboo.org. I'm Denise Morris. Patricia Kohlberg has been our engineer this morning. Next up is Air Cascadia, followed by Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein, and Radio Zine. It's On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Follies, Portland's physical comedy showcase. Sunday, December 4th at 8 p.m. at the Funhouse Lounge in Portland. Follies will highlight the richly diverse, artistic, and hilarious world of physical comedy, variety, and sketch comedy every first Sunday of the month. This is a 21 and over event. Again, that's Follies, Sunday, December 4th from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Funhouse Lounge, 2432 Southeast 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First up, the weather. We've got a couple of great guests today. Bat Stannard, our public banking guy, is joining us with six steps to making our way through the economic cooperation movement. And we'll also be joined by Billy Wilson, Humpapa Lakota Sioux. He's with the Sitting Bull Clan, so his people go way back in the Dakota Access Pipeline, Standing Rock Sioux confrontation. This is not news to anybody in the Sitting Bull Clan. And Billy Wilson has a foot in two worlds, one here in Portland, and the rest of the time he spends in North Dakota fighting for land which belongs, by tradition, by law, by treaty, belongs to his people and has belonged to his people for time immemorial. Putting an exact number of years on it would only be an insult added to the injury of the way the land has been expropriated and now exploited. First, the weather. A few showers today. 50-50 apparently, and we will have a high around 54, light variable wind tonight. Not such a great chance of rain, though might bit sprinkles late in the night. Otherwise, overcast skies, lows around 44. And tomorrow, rain, mainly in the morning, highs around 51. And it's a good chance of rain, so be prepared for that. And for tomorrow night, again, showers and a low around 43, light winds. That's it for the weather. It's there all around us, touching us and reminding us of that little tap on the, that little rainy tap on the shoulder, that we are connected to this earth, and that is, it would behoove us to show a little bit more care and respect for the earth that we stand on, the rain that comes down on our heads. That's it. Matt Stannard has the 2016 election, six takeaways for the economic cooperation movement. Now, this was an election of America's most prominently parasitic and malicious real estate capitalist. It's an economic system based on predatory finance, making money through the exploitation of labor, extraction of the planet, and the financial leverage of money itself. The wonderful word that Matt uses is mass immiseration. Immiseration, deep cultural divisions, irrationality is ideology, fake populism, incipient fascism. 2016 election was an indictment of extract and exploit capitalism, not a vindication of it. Breathe deeply knowing that, he advises, and keep talking about it. More and more people are going to want to talk about this. That is absolutely for sure. President-elect Donald Trump has turned a vital and shrouded in decorum in the past anyway, process of forming a government into a carnival of fools. Trump branded, made for television, a spectacle. And we wait with bated breath as each of the new appointments comes stumbling down the pike. More on that later. We can go straight to Matt now. Good morning, Matt, and thank you so much for being with us again.
No problem, Chris. Good morning. And I think you're absolutely right. I hadn't even thought of it that way, but it is sort of a carnival of fools, you know, watching that. And, you know, sort of to me, the way that that is connected to this economic system we've been trying to live under, we've been trying to, you know, to force us and the earth as sort of square pegs into the hole of crony capitalism, you know, has given us this. This is what happened. Trump is a culmination of our political system, not an exception to our political system.
Absolutely, and indeed, I quoted pretty much word for word the point number one of the six takeaways. I really like this a lot, what you have here, and I wondered if you would
It's culminatory. It's what happens. This is what happens when we don't take care of each other. This is what happens when we don't take care of the planet. Is that eventually this sort of thing happens, and we saw that with the rise of fascism in Europe in the 1930s under many of these same economic conditions, this widespread immiseration of people and alienation and abandonment of rationality and all of those things. So, you know, even though I'm not going to, you know, say that everything is the same as it was then, but those same antecedents, those same kind of causes are in place. And so that's what I see, and I think that's why it's so important for us to then double down on cooperative economics, ecological economics, all of the things, you know, that so many good thinkers and doers out there are already doing on local levels.
Well, each one of these points is apart from being just Thunderbolt, true and real, written with a sense of humor. And I think, though, that a difference between these times and the 30s is we've never seen fear wielded with such surgical, talk about a surgical strike. Mm-hmm. This is using fear to cut people apart, to cut communities from one from another. So literally, we've used, as we see that just today, using fear as an instrument of dividing Muslim Americans from, literally and figuratively, dividing Muslim Americans, the Muslim from the American. Instead of a hyphen, it's a wall at this point. It really is. He said he'd build a wall, and I guess we could take him at his word. He's building many walls and the divide to conquer.
And in the meantime, we're still building things ourselves. We're building worker-owned cooperatives. We're building intentional communities. We are discussing and acting on sometimes really local levels to increase cooperation, because, as you know, as the conclusion of the post says, every time we demonstrate that cooperation works, the forces that gave us a president-elect Trump lose. Every instance of us having cooperative generosity with one another and with the earth, and making those things into real material manifestations of our of solidarity and justice, in our policies, in our laws, in our everyday practices, in our cooperative businesses, everything like that, you know, that builds a wall of our own, I think.
Sure. And for years, many people on the left have speculated on what it would take to bring down capitalism or rein it in and give it a human face once again, because it no longer has a human face at all. And it became increasingly apparent that these alternative economies, which people flocked to the point where there was panic in the marketplace, and the collusion between corporate America, the private sector, and public sector, never more apparently, the corporate sector, private sector pressuring the politicos to do something. It was like they're running around in circles with their hair on fire. Fear is in the marketplace is exactly what they don't want to happen, and fear is what the alternative, these wonderful alternative economies.
Well, 60% of Americans can't afford a $500 emergency at this point, and that's not just poverty or unemployment talking. That's economic insecurity talking, and it cuts across this huge swath of the American public. I don't think you can, you know, whatever the other causes or whatever, you know, there were probably a confluence of many causes as to what, you know, causes one candidate to win over the other. But you can't separate the conversation from that 60% figure, because that is hard material insecurity. And insecurity makes people make weird decisions. People make very weird, sometimes irrational decisions when they're insecure. And so, again, you know, maybe my post, you know, it doesn't pretend to answer all the questions or solve all the problems, but one way that we can overcome that insecurity is through cooperative economics.
Yeah, so much of one constituency's concerns are things that we all share, and it was at that point where Martin Luther King Jr. was gunned down, because the idea of making financial common cause is what really put the fear. Put the fear on them, on the overlords. And
it's always a huge discovery. It's always a big turning point. And so, you know, we just have to keep building. We just have to keep working on it no matter what. And, you know, when people ask what I was going to work on, you know, either way after the election, is pretty much the same thing. You know, public banks, worker-owned cooperatives, intentional communities that do things like income sharing and other kinds of ways that we can demonstrate to people that cooperation works and that sustainability works and that it doesn't suck to live cooperatively and sustainably, and we can do it. Now, I think it also becomes this urgent way of showing people that the type of worldview that the new leaders of the White House, the new occupiers of the White House are going to have is not the true worldview. The true worldview is here on the ground, people cooperating. You know, people that I know are not as ruthless and vindictive as these people at the top are.
I have one last question before we let you go. We've got about a minute left. I was talking with someone the other day that the possibility that the marijuana markets may come up with, may create out of necessity, alternative banking systems so that they are able to grow, they're able to do business, and they're able to pay taxes and so forth. Because a consumer mm-hmm. type of public banking that challenges existing banking systems, because all of these alternative economies are generating so many new ideas. Banking has to be one of them. Do you see any of these types of alternative banking systems forming, perhaps
absolutely,
at micro levels?
Absolutely, and in fact, my organization, Commonomics, is hard at work in Santa Rosa, California, helping their city council create a public bank. All with all that entails, one of the purposes of that is absolutely to be a place where states and cities can safely store their marijuana revenue and have it be shielded from a lot of the federal hurdles that are created because of the illegality of cannabis at the federal level. So yeah, Commonomics USA is hard at work on that, and I would urge people to read our stuff at our Facebook page, Commonomics USA, as well as our website, and then they can also visit cowboysinthecommons.org to read some of more.
Cowboys in the Commons is a fantastic website. Have a look at it if you haven't already out there. This has been, I want to thank, of course, Matt Stanley.